Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar.
One of the most prolific artists of his time, Jeff McFetridge, has undoubtedly influenced the way the world looks. His art is everywhere, on your Apple Watch, in countless galleries around the world, in titles for films by Sofia Coppola and Spike Jonze, in collaboration with Nike, Hermes, Warby Parker, and many, many more. There's a terrific documentary film called Jeff McFetridge, Drawing a Life, and we're joined today by the director, Dan Covert. Dan, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thanks for having me. It's a privilege and honor.
Thank you so much. And I think it's referred to it in the introduction. We do know Jeff, but we just don't maybe know who the artist is who's been so influential in so many areas of the broad society, but also specific artwork that he's done over the years that you may or may not know it was him, but just a terrific artist. Tell me a little bit about how you became a part of this project. What was it that inspired you into making this film?
Yeah, I studied graphic design in the early 2000s. And at that point, Jeff was kind of just starting to kind of come on the national scene. And as a graphic designer artist, he's kind of this pinnacle in that world. So then over 20 years, I've just been a fan and watched his career grow. And we got to spend a little bit of time together in 2015 to shoot a short film together. And then when I got hired again to make a short film in 2019 about him, I felt the world didn't need another short film. There was a million of those. So could this be an opportunity to tell a larger story? In my career at that point, I had only made short films and commercials and was looking to do a larger project. We had this ability to kind of shoot with him for 4 or 5 days. So we thought, like, let's just dive into that and see if there's a larger story to tell. And that was the beginning of kind of showcasing his work and his world with a larger audience.
First of all, he's very intelligent, very exceedingly well spoken in terms of his ability to articulate the ideas of not only his life, but of his art. There's so many things about him that are inviting to be a part of his world. In terms of his temperament as an artist, and his temperament as you sit down to talk to him, are they different? Is it the same person that you're talking to when you see him working on his art? How does it, if at all, is it change, or what is it about him in his relationship to what he does as opposed to him as someone that you would just sit down for a cup of coffee with?
I think there's two sides to him. And we kind of show that in the film. I think that where we started with him and where my relationship started with him is a more academic, like talking about the process of art, the meaning of art, how you make art, what you're communicating with that art. But then over the time of making the film, you start to see that he's just like a good hang. He's like, he's very funny. He's very affable. He's very charming. So I think to have both of those things in the same person is quite rare, because a lot of artists are very standoffish or very insular because they spend a lot of time on their own, where Jeff has these both sides of himself. And I think when I first shot with him in 2015, most of the day we spent together was the more academic side. But then at the very end, he did something that was more charming and kind of personable. And I was like, oh man, there's like another side of this person I didn't even capture after spending a day together. You know, he has whole audiences of people he's hanging out with who know nothing about his art. And he's just like he's a charismatic guy, you know what I mean? So that goes a long way with a documentary subject, especially when you're talking about something like art. I love art. I have an art practice. I've made art for 10 years, but you know, that's a very specific community in a way of speaking that can sometimes alienate people. But the fact that he's able to say it in a compelling way and be charismatic while he's doing it can draw a larger audience in. And that was very helpful for us in making the film. But you know, it's still edited down. He talks very round, circular, and he's kind of thinking with his words like he's sketching. So we're kind of working to kind of hone those words into kind of like the essence of the medium through the edit. It's all kind of like all those things kind of coming together to make this package, you know?
Yeah. And I want to get into that process that you're describing, because it's fascinating to hear him talk about his early days, as how he became interested in art, the geometry of art, geometry of life, his life experience. But let's talk for the audience. Let's kind of pull them into what we as the audience may be familiar with some of his work. And we will also talk about his evolution as an artist as well, because it's fascinating. But for people who are listening to this conversation, what would they most likely know of his art?
Probably the biggest things are the title designs to a large audience. Like he did the titles for the Virgin Suicides. He did a lot of the interface design and titling in the word, the film Her, Spike Jonze's film. He's done a ton of stuff through Warby Parker, like all over Los Angeles and the world. Big campaigns for Nike and Apple. He did the logo for Freaks and Geeks. You know, there are these things that are out in culture that everyone has seen, right? Yeah. You just might not have been like, oh, the same person did this stuff. It does look somewhat similar, but it is like very varied in terms of what it actually functions as. Yeah. And, you know, he's the art director of the Beastie Boys magazine. He's had all these touch points over a 30-year career that are quite impressive.
In terms of his journey as an artist, I love the way that he starts out talking about his interest in just drawing, just doing what the simplest, most basic kind of art. And also to the extent we want to bring in his where he was born. I don't know if you know if that sort of ties into how he became an artist, where he's from, and just the early days of what fascinated him about being an artist.
Yeah, I mean, he was born in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, in that region. There's dispute. His mom talks about one place, he talks about another, but just for sake of expediency, he was born kind of in the remote part of Canada that then became kind of the suburb. So it was like prairie land and then became suburban. And I think he was kind of looking for an avenue to kind of like deal with a lot of things that were happening in his head. And I think he really fixated and dove into the idea of drawing as a form of sorting through your thoughts. And it's interesting, his mom talks in the film that he wasn't that extraordinary of a draftsman as a kid. He just looked like a regular kid drawing. And I think you see throughout the film, like very quickly, there's this progression of like, I want to be good at this thing. This thing brings me some kind of mental clarity. So I'm just going to dive fully into it. And you see his kind of career go from there with like a devotion of time to a craft and then it yield a result as he gets better and better and starts refining his talent, which in the beginning wasn't any different than you or I, but over time it obviously excels to this other place. It's almost unachievable.
Well, to watch him draw, to watch his acuity with a pencil, just to watch him do what he does, it is pretty remarkable to see how precise he is when he puts his mind and puts pen or pencil to paper. It really is something to watch, just that part of it. It's talked about in the film in that he started out as a designer, a graphic artist designer, but to make that transition into where he is today is not an easy one. And to the extent you want to talk about him and his journey and just what I'm describing, why is it so few people make that transition to from where he was to where he's considered to be today?
A lot of people dive into graphic design because it's maybe a safe form of creativity. You can go get a job as a graphic designer. It's like quite hard to get a job as an artist. And also as an artist, you need to think of something personal to say, and then people need to resonate with it. So yeah. A graphic designer is like a pretty safe path for a lot of people to be like, I'm going to do something creative, but I'm reacting to a client or to a brief. He started his career doing that, reacting to a brief, but then he realized that the more he slipped himself into that work, instead of being anonymous as a designer, the better the work seemed to go, the more it kind of like resonated in the world. So he basically started shifting and putting himself as a person into this medium, which is normally an anonymous medium, no one signing the graphic design, etc. And then he leveled that up even further while dealing with personal concerns in graphic design, then started to build an art practice that fully dealt with those concerns on his own terms. And then over the course of 20 years, that art career blossomed. And he's always kind of like balanced this commercial practice with this artistic practice. But the commercial practice has largely become another outlet for art making for him. Like he certainly is solving a client's problem, but it's mostly through his own concerns and executions. And someone is kind of like leveraging that for their brand or whatever.
So much of the joy of watching Jeff McFetridge drawing a life is seeing the work, seeing how creative and clever but also as a graphic designer, you can appreciate, at least I can, appreciate how well he delivers the message with all that creativity included in the package, if you will. It's really remarkable.
It's staggering. I mean, through the course of my career, I've probably done like 70 or 80 short films about artists, designers, whatever. Like his output is it's like extremely impressive. I mean, there's like stacks of sketchbooks and drawings all over, and he's just drawing. And like the end result looks rather simple in its execution, whether it's a simple drawing or a painting, which is relatively geometric and kind of clean. But there's so much thought that goes into that. It makes it look so much easier than it actually is to kind of be like, oh yeah, I could do that. It's like, you probably can't. You know what I mean?
Well, let people know that we're speaking with Dan Covert. He is the director of the documentary film, Jeff McFetridge, Drawing a Life. And it is in theaters right now as we speak, and will also be available on VOD beginning on July 2nd. It's been really a joy getting to know him, getting to know Jeff McFetridge, and not just his work, his life, his family, all of the things that he is about. And that's just another takeaway from this film, is I want to spend time with him. I would love the opportunity just to, you know, as you said, he's a good hang, right? He really is. And he doesn't seem at all burdened by sort of the artist mentality that often comes into play, that he's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. He seems to be embracing everything about his life and about the things that he's done.
He and I talk about this a lot, of like, what situations you put yourself in,
yeah,
what challenges you take on, how big the practice gets when you say yes to something versus when you say no to something. All these little decisions add up to a life. And I think we all have these choices of like, where do we devote our time? Where do we devote our creative energy? Do you have a family? Do you not have a family? And he's just kind of continually thinking about these things. He's been bigger at some points with his practice and how many people work there. He shrunk it down. He's worked on giant commissions. He's done smaller things. How far can you extend yourself? How many projects can you do? He's like continually thinking about that. And I think because of that, he's able to kind of be more of himself as he's developed his career. So it's something I continually think about as an artist, as a filmmaker. What do I devote my time towards? And am I doing the things that are bringing me joy and satisfaction in life? And those are the things that we can all kind of think about. And that's what we really tried to tackle in the film, is like, certainly you learn about this amazing artist, but then also you can maybe take a step back and be like, how can I live my life with a little bit more intention? How do I spend my time?
Terrific film, terrific watch. You'll enjoy it. I hope if you're listening to our conversation, you seek this out, whether it's in the theater or whether it's on VOD. Again, the film is called Jeff McFetridge, Drawing a Life, and we've been joined today by the director, Dan Covert. Dan, thank you so very much for your time. This is terrific. Thank you.
Mike, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate you shining a little light on our film.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.